Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph. We're going to begin on Daf Chaf on the base, three lines from the bottom. Tanar Abonim. Shalosh Kailos Hoylchim and Saifa Oilim Vat Saifai. There are three sounds that go across the whole world. Masha explains what the Gemara means to say here is there are three things that everybody in the world is aware of. Ve'elehim. Kol Galgalchama. Everybody sees how the sun goes around the world. Kol Hamoyne Shalroimi. Everybody is aware of the power of Rome. When somebody leaves the world, everybody becomes aware of his passing. When somebody is born, people are aware. So Rashi explains it refers to rain. That everybody is aware of when it rains and things begin to grow. Obor Rabban Rachme and Shama. So again, the way the Mashal explains this line, we find times in Shas that Chazal prayed that person should not die, but Lua, and they were able to prevent people from dying, even though ultimately everybody passes on. There's a very cute vart that I saw from the Klausenberger Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha. He says that there was once a Rav that this goes back a while, obviously, who was in Berlin seeing doctors for treatment. And the doctors would debate the Rav on Torah, and Torah Min HaShemayim. So one day the doctor tells him that we believe that Ein Chadosh Tachas HaShemesh. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything was here from Bryas HaOlam. This is when radio was invented. So the doctor said the radio was just invented. And where in Torah do we find the concept of radio? You say everything is in Torah. So he said it's this shir. V'yesh omrim af radio. That the Gemara says that shalosh kailos hoichim et saifa oil met saifai. You hear something throughout the world. And what is it? The radio. So you see that even the radio is in Shas. Tanya Kavasei Rav Shaila. So yesterday, we had it in the Mishnah, the terminology of Kriyas HaGever. And there was a machloikis between Rav and Rav Shaila, what Kriyas HaGever means. Rav said Kriyas HaGever means Kriyas Gavra, that there was a person that used to wake up and announce in the morning. And Rav Shaila said Kriyas HaGever means the chicken, the rooster crowing. Tanya Kavasei Rav Shaila. If somebody goes out on a trip, the halacha is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, la'olam yetzei adam b'chi toif. A person should always begin a trip when it's light. So if somebody goes out on a trip before the rooster crows, damei b'roishai. Rashi says, if something chas v'shalom happens to him, he has no one to blame but himself, because it's dangerous to go out when it's still dark. Rabbi Yishayimer, what does that mean? At Shiyishana, until the rooster crows twice. V'yeshayimrim, at Shiyishalish, until he crows three times. Obeza Tanagol Aymrim, regarding which one? B'Tanagol Bainini. So there's two pshatim in Tanagol Bainini. One is that it's a rooster that doesn't crow not too early or not too late, in the regular time. Or it means it's a rooster not too old, not too young, of average age. A old one crows earlier, a young one does it later, the regular time. And that's the halacha, that you're supposed to not travel by day. And in fact, the poskim can say that anywhere in halacha where it says, dama b'roishai, doing something you could be responsible for your life, chas b'shalom, a person should always be as machmer as possible, because the halacha is chamir sakanti misura, by a question of sakonas nefashas, we have to be super careful. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, because the roads are lit up. B'shash Yisrael Oilim Regal. When Klal Yisrael used to come to be Oilim Regal, Oilim Tzfufim, it was very crowded. So they used to stand crowded, U'mishtachvim Revochim. When they bowed down, they had space. So, what's Pshat? So Pasha Pshat is that when they bow down, both on Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur, they had to bow down, as we know what we say in the tefillah. Hayikayrim Mishtachvim, they used to bow, and they used to say Vidui. And when somebody says Vidui, nobody else is supposed to hear him. So he bowed down, and he had four amas for his body to lay down. And not only did he have four amas for his body to lay down, there was space in between him and the next person that he should be able to say Vidui or Tefillah privately. That's Pshat in the Gemara. That's Pash Pshat in the Gemara. Rav Chaim Briska says, not only on Yom Kippur did they bow down, Rav Chaim Briska says the halach is that whenever someone entered the Azara, he would have to bow down. Vishtachveh. You have to bow down, and that's what the Vishtachveh that the Gemara is referring to also. The Chasam Sofer says that we learned in this is Mishtachvim Revochim. That when they bow down, here they're so crowded, and when they bow down, they had space. He says the real nes was that oimdim tzfufim. Normally when people are crowded, they're uncomfortable. They don't want to remain there. The nes was that even when Klal Yisrael were crowded, so to speak, they didn't feel uncomfortable because they were in the Beis HaMikdash. And the pleasure and the hanah of being in the Beis HaMikdash outweighed the feeling and the of being uncomfortable. They also say oimdim tzfufim. If somebody is even tzfuf, sometimes somebody is crowded, he's tight, life isn't so great, but still, mishtachim revachim, we still have to thank Hashem for what we have. But mishachim, achas asrei amah achuri beis hakaparis, that they also stood, there was an area of 11 amas behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they stood there. It says the Gemara, my comma, what does the Gemara mean? It says the Gemara, hachi comma. Afo pishin mishachim achas asrei amah achuri beis hakaparis, even though it was such a large crowd, that they even had a stand in those 11 amas behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'ayimdim tzfufim, and even there they were crowds. So there was a huge crowd there. Still, there was a nes, k'shem shtachvim, when they bowed down, mishtachvim revachim, they were able to bow down and have space. And says the Gemara, v'zeh echad mi'asar nisim shenasa b'migdash. This is one of the 10 nisim, which we're going to learn about now, that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ben Yoyod explains what's the number 10. Because we know that Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos, 10 tests. The 10th test was a Kedis Yitzchak, which took place on Har Moriah, the Mokam HaMikdash. So to commemorate that 10th nisyon, we have 10 nisim that happened on the base in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim point out, really there were many more than these 10 nisim that we're going to learn about. But these 10 nisim were obvious, that not everybody saw they were in this. The whole atmosphere and environment of Beis HaMikdash was one of miracles. The Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Asara nisim nasa Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. One is lo yipili isha mereich basa hegdash. A woman who's pregnant and she gets a craving, if you don't fulfill her craving, she could come to danger, she or the fetus. If a woman had a craving for basa hegdash, she would never, it would never affect her that she should miscarry. So Rashi says in Pirkei Avos, for if she could chas v'shalom miscarry, we wouldn't give her the meat anyway. So all the Mefarshim don't understand Rashi. We know that Pikuach Nefesh overrides everything. So why, if a woman has a craving, wouldn't we give her what she wants, if it's Sakonis Nefashis? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that we could rely on the Nes, that nothing will happen. Or, another pshat I saw is beautiful. If there is a real concern that a woman who has this craving, if she won't fulfill her craving, she could chas v'shalom die, or the child could be in danger, then we would never allow a pregnant woman into the Azara. Because we don't want to come to a situation where we have to give her the meat, which we're not allowed to. And the other thing, we don't want to have sakonas nefashis. Chazal tell us, we can allow pregnant women into the Azara. We don't have to worry that anything's going to happen. The Medrash Shmuel says, what is the limit of this? The limit is, lo yipili isha mereich basa hegdash, that bad things don't come from doing kaddish. From doing ruchnistic things, we don't have to worry that bad things will happen. V'lo yisriach basa hegdash ma'olam. The meat in the Azara never spoiled, even though it was out in the sun, and even though it might have taken a while till all the meat on the Mizbeach got burnt up, and even though shlomim are eaten for 2 days and one night, and they didn't have refrigerating, it still never got spoiled. What's mi'olam ever? Mefarshim explain Ma'olam means not only in the Beis Hamikdash did this happen, but even in the Mishkan, in its various places that it was, and even in Bamos. Again, the limit here is that if somebody treats his food and his life properly, when he leaves this world, lo yisriach, his body doesn't decompose. There were no worms in the place where the meat of the Hegdash was washed. Again, if somebody treats Hegdash properly, he will be treated properly. As we've been discussing, the Kohen Gadol never became a Baal Keri. Which means, Mefarshim say, there were times in the Beis Hamikdash where Kohanim became Tamei. However, the Tumah of Keri is a particularly embarrassing Tumah, and that Tumah never happened. And again, what is the limud? The limud is that even if something bad happens, or you even have to do something not nice to someone else, don't embarrass him. Embarrassing is particularly wrong. The Tosfos Yontov asks a gevaldige kasha. He says, we've been learning in our perek for the last few dafim how so many precautions were gone through to prevent the Kohen Gadol from having an emission of keri. So what's the big nice? If all these precautions were done, it's natural that he won't have an emission. So he says a very interesting teretz. He says, the way the world works is when somebody tries to do something and there's another side, the other side works very hard to fight it. He gives a few examples in the physical world. He says, when a candle's about to go out, then you'll see it comes up with a last burst of flame. Or when a person, Rahman Salam, is about to die, you'll see that the last couple of minutes, he comes back somewhat. Because it's the last burst of energy. He says, since we tried so hard to keep the Kohen Gadol Tahar, so the Yetzahara, the Tzadik HaNeged, worked so hard to get him Tameh. That's why he took a Nes to keep him Tahar. V'lai Nimtza P'sul Ba'Omer. On the second day of Pesach, they brought a carbon Omer from newly cut barley. And as we learned, on the night of after the first day of Pesach, they went through a whole process of cutting the Omer and sifting the Omer. Were that Omer to become pasul? So according to some Rishonim, it can't be brought because it has to always be cut the night before. If something happens to that, it can't be replaced. Even according to the Rishonim, that it can be replaced, it will be a problem. Because once the Omer is brought, Chadosh, the new grain may be used. People assumed that by Chatzos the Omer was brought. That was the normal assumption. If it got pasul, it couldn't have been brought by Chatzos. So people would be eating the Chadosh in the wrong time. So it never happened. Similarly, Shtei Lechem. On Shavuos they brought two loaves that had to be baked from Erev Yontif. If something happened, couldn't be replaced, nothing ever happened. Similarly, lechem upon him. Every Shabbos they had the lechem upon him. And the lechem upon him had to be, the new one had to be put on Shabbos and the old one taken out. If it didn't happen on Shabbos, it's too late. It never became pasul. Farshim point out, really lechem upon him should be mentioned first because lechem upon him happened every week. Omer Shtei Lechem only happened once a year. What's the lesson of this? All these things are things that can't be replaced. The lesson here is you have to be especially careful on things that can't be substituted to watch them. We spoke about that. They stood, they were crowded, but when they bowed down, they had plenty of room. What's the lesson from this, the Medrash Shmuel says? If somebody is an oimid, if somebody stands tall, he's arrogant, tzfufim, then his panasa will be tight. But if he's mishtachvim, he's very soft and he's very easygoing, revochim, then he'll have panasa berevach. V'lehizik nochesh ve'ekru b'Yerushalayim ha'olam. No one would ever hurt by a snake or a scorpion in Yerushalayim. So Mefarshim point out two things. It doesn't say no one was ever bitten. It says v'lehizik. Even if they got bitten, they got well. And it says me'olam, forever. Furthermore, again, what does this mean? Again, the lesson that we mentioned before. If somebody is with Kodesh, he doesn't have to worry about being in trouble. Yerushalayim, by the Yom Tov, there were a lot of people there. So it was a tight, weren't that many beds available. No one ever complained. What's the lesson from this? The lesson from this is a person should be able to forgive another person. He shouldn't say, I need a nice hotel room and I don't care about anybody else. Everybody should learn to live with everybody else. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah began mentioning Pasach b'Migdash, Nisim that happened the base of Migdash, the sign b'Yerushalayim, and ends off with things that happen in Yerushalayim. But we're not talking about Yerushalayim. We're talking about the base of Migdash. Answers the Gemara, Iketatach Nisim b'Migdash. There were two other Nisim that happened the base of Migdash. The Tanya, Ma'olam lekavu gishomim eish shalatze hamarocha. The rain never extinguished the fire of the Mizbeach. And again, the lesson from this is, we should never allow Gashmius to be more important than Ruchnius. V'ashen ha-marocha, and the smoke that came off the Mizbeach, afilu kol rucha shva'olam, boys, or menashas boy, even if all the wind in the world tries to move it, eim azizah zay mekaymai, doesn't move. What's the lesson from this? A person has to be strong in his conviction and his avoidas Hashem, not to be wishy-washy. So now the question is, what was the Gemara's Havamina? What was the Mishnah's Havamina that it inserted things about Yerushalayim, if we're talking about the base of Mikdash? So answer the Mefarshim. The Havamina was, we wanted to show that not only is the base of Mikdash holy, even Yerushalayim is holy. But then the Gemara says, well, we're talking about the base of Mikdash, not about Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, Vesuleka, are there no other Nisim that happened in the base of Mikdash? Vatanya Rav Shimon ben Kalbani, Shivrei Kli Cheres, Nevlam B'Mekayman. The halacha is that earthenware utensils can't be kashered because the bliyad, what it absorbs, never comes out. So if we cooked in an earthenware utensil a carbon, you can't kasher it after it becomes nicer, after the time of eating. And the halacha is it had to remain there. It had to be broken and remain there azara. Now, what we would end up is having a huge heap of broken earthenware kaling. So it was a mess. It got absorbed into the ground. Vamrabaya, Moyer Venitza, the crap and the feathers of a bird oiler, Vadish Mizbech Apnimi, the ashes that were cleared from the Mizbech Apnimi, Vadish and Menorah, the ashes that were cleared from the Menorah, all Nevluim B'Mekoyman. So we have these Nisim. Answers the Gemara, Psule Tlosa Hava. We mentioned three things, that the Oimer, the Shtei Lechem, and the lechem upon him never got puzzled. We listed them as three nisim. Hashvinu b'chad. Really, we'll consider them only as one nis. So, apik trei, take out two, because we turned three nisim into one nis. So, three minus one, we're left with two. V'ayel trei, and put in these two nisim about these items that got absorbed into the ground. Ask the Gemara, hi'hochi b'luim nami trei hava. If you can say that everything's under one category, is one nes, chashvin b'chad, so we should consider these two nisim really as one, and therefore chasrulu, so now we're only down to nine nisim. So Mefarsh, the Ben Yoyada explains, why would I think that the three nisim that nothing ever got possible should be one, but the two nisim that things got absorbed in the ground should be considered separate? So this is a very nice pshat. That these items never got possible, it's not that obvious. Like we said before, these are things that happen once a year, once a week, and people don't see it, so that it's not such an obvious nace. But every day, all these things got absorbed into the ground is a very big nace, so I would consider it separate. Still says the Gemara, if it's one category, it should be one. Says the Gemara, Ikanami Echrita, there's one more nace. Dom Rav Shimon Levi, nace godl hayanasa b'lechem upon him. There was a great nace that happened with the lechem upon him. Selukai kisiduroi. When it was removed from the lechem upon him, it was as warm and stayed fresh like was put in. Shenemar, losam lechem choyim b'yoyim yilochay. It remained fresh when it was taken out like when it was put in. Ask the Gemara, v'suleka, are there no other nisim? V'am Reb Levi, dovazem esoris miyodeinu mavaseinu. We have this Kabbalah, mokam aron enem anamida, that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the aron was an area of 20 by 20. The Oren, according to most Rishonim, was in the center of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there should be less than 10 amos from the Oren. A nace happened. If you measure from the Oren to every wall, you still have 10 amos. V'amrav Noi Amishmul, on the same vein, Kruvim Nace Hayyimdim. The Kruvim that were on the side of the Oren also didn't take up any room. What's the lesson of this? So the Ben Yoyada says a beautiful. He says, the Gemara says that Mizaynaisov shall Adam Kinsuva Laim Rosh Hashanah, that what a person is supposed to earn is made up in Rosh Hashanah. Chutz Mitzah Shavs V'Yontif, what you spend for Shavs V'Yontif, Vitzah Sponav L'Tamot Torah, what you spend for Torah learning. Makam Aron, the amount, the price of the Torah, the expenses that you have from Torah, Enim and Amida, don't affect your financial statement. Whatever you support yeshivas with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you back. Answers the Gemara, Nis the Gevoy Loi Chashoiv. The reason the Gemara isn't mentioning these Nisim is because these were Nisim that happened in the Beis Hamidrash proper, and they're not being mentioned. Ask the Gemara, Yochi Lechem Aponim, that we just include as one of the Nisim, Nami Nisi the Gavoy Havi, is also a Nis that happened in the Beis Hamidrash proper. And why is it mentioned? So the Masha asks, perhaps the Nis of the Oren was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why it's not mentioned. The Nis of the Lechem Aponim was in the Kodesh, so it is mentioned. Answers the Masha, why is the Nis of the Oren not mentioned? Because it happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nobody's allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you don't see the Nis. But similarly, Yisraelim are not allowed to enter the Kodesh either. So they didn't see the Nis of the Lechem upon them either. So why is it considered one of the Nisim? Answers the Gemara, no. Lechem upon them Nis de Baroi Havre. The Nis of the Lechem upon them is considered a Nis that happened outside the Beis HaMikdash. Dom Reish Lakish, Maidik Siv. The Pasuk says, Al HaShulchan HaTor. The Shulchan was Tor. Tor. If it says it's tor, mechlal shu tamei. That means it's susceptible to tamei. It's susceptible to tumah, but it didn't become tumah. But ask the Gemara, how is it susceptible to tumah? Kli'eis ha'osu l'nachasu. It's a stationary wood utensil. And the aloch is, the kol kli'eis ha'osu l'nachas, a stationary wood utensil, ein mekabel tumah, is not susceptible to tumah. Why? Because the pasuk says, kol kli'eis oybeged oyor osak. The Torah compares a kli'etz to a sack to say what characteristic must a kli'etz have in order for it to be mekabel tumah. It has to be like a sack. A sack is movable both when it's empty or where it's full. But a stationary wood utensil that doesn't move is not mekabel tumah. And furthermore, v'chaytz b'fnei tumah. Let's say you have tumah in a room and you'll put a stationary wood utensil at the door, it will separate and not let the tumah go out of the room. So the shulchan, why is the shulchan susceptible to tumah? It's a wood keli made to stand. El malamit, it wasn't made, kept. What happened? Shemagbin oisel oilin regolim, that when Yontif came, they would take out the shulchan, v'oirim lehem, they would show it to all the Jews that are assembled in the Azara, and will tell them, Ruchi baskin lefnei mokim. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Shisilukoi ki siduroi. That the bread remained fresh when it was taken out, like when it was put in. Shenemar, losum lechem choyim b'yom halachai. The bread remained warm and hot when it was taken out, like when it was put in. So there's a few points to be made. The Ritva explains the Gemara. Usually, Yontif is not on Shabbos. The lechem upon him was taken out on Shabbos, the old one, and the new one was put in on Shabbos. But if Yontif was during the week, they couldn't do that. So what did they do? They took the whole Shulchan, took it out of the base of Mikdash, to the Azara, where everybody was standing, and they saw how the smoke was still coming out of the Lechem upon him, as if it was fresh, as if it was just baked. Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara say that the Shulchan is a Kli Eitz? The Shulchan was covered with a plate of gold. It was gold-plated. So why is it called a kli'etz? So Tosfos answers that since we find that the Torah calls the shulchan a kli'etz, it shows us that the coating is not what's important. Since it was primarily made out of wood, it's considered a kli'etz. The Ben Yoyada explains, what's the lesson of this? That a person begins learning, he's chaim. He's warm, he's gishmak, he's interested in learning. Chaim is memches. It's the 48 ways, the Memches Dvarim, HaTorah's Nikna. A person should keep that Varmkeit. A person should keep that freshness, not only at the beginning of his learning, but he should stay with it throughout. Says the Gemara of Suleka, there's no other Nisim. V'am Rav Yishe, this is an unbelievable Gemara. V'shar Shabana Shlomo Beis HaMikdash. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not about Kominei Megodim Shazof. He planted trees that gave out gold fruit. Vayimitzim parseim bezmanam. They used to give out gold fruit. So the Sfas Emes explains what was Shlomo doing here. He says Shlomo HaMelech wanted to teach Klal Yisrael that everything we have, all of the shefa, all of the panos we have, comes from the Beis HaMikdash. But the halacha is that you're not allowed to plant a tree in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara. So how could he do it? He can't plant a tree. So he had a nace. He didn't plant a regular tree. He planted a tree that gave gold fruit. And when the wind would blow, noshim, these gold fruit would fall down. Yirash klevonon period. The fruit in the levonon, the Beis HaMikdash means levonon, would shake, and the fruit would come down. There's a machloikus who got those gold fruit. Some of us say went to the Bet Kabayis, went to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Others say the Kohanim got it. Asks the Or Sameach, how can we say that the Kohanim got it? It's Gedulei Hegdish. It grew in the Beis HaMikdash. It belongs to Hegdish. So he answers, since it was all Nisim, it's not considered like it was grown from Hegdish. It's all Nes. When the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash, Yavish, it dried up. Shenamar, Uparuch Levonon Umlo, the blossom of the Levonon became weak, it dried up. However, Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechziron, Shenamar, Paroich Tifrach Vesogel, it will again blossom and we will be happen. Af gilas v'ran and kvoid halvon and nitalon. So why isn't this nace mentioned? Answer the Gemara, nisa the kvila chashev. A nace that happened every day. There was a tree. It was always there. Always giving gold fruit. There's no need to mention. Says the Gemara, if those kind of nisim are not included in the list, so now we already have a teretz to our previous kasha. Hash the dosis lahachi, or the kruvim nami nisa the kavininu. Darn and kruvim is a nace that happened every day. That's why it's not in the list. Other mafarshim explained this gemara because it's actually a hard gemara to understand. Gold fruit. They say it's talking about understanding the Torah. The Torah is like gold. The level and the depth of our ability to understand the Torah that Shlomo HaMelech wrote, dried up. It's not as deep as it used to be. Amamar. Vashan HaMarocha. The Maros mentioned that the smoke of the Mizbeach didn't scatter. Asked the Gemara, Omihava Osh HaMarocha, was there any smoke? Vatanyu Chamishat Varim Nemro Be'esh HaMarocha. There were five things said regarding the fire on the Mizbeach. Revutza Kari, it looked like a lion. Obor Kachama. So the Rabbeinu El Yochum, as a Rishon explains, that usually fire looks red. This was transparent. V'yesh by mamash, it was tangible. V'achelas lachin kivation, and it ate up both dry and liquid, even though fire usually doesn't affect the liquid, it only affects something which is a solid. The ain't mala oshin, and it didn't give off any smoke. So how can you speak about the smoke? Answers the Gemara, ki karmina b'dehegit. The halacha is, as we're going to learn now, that besides the fire coming down from Shemayim, we also had to put on our own fire. And the smoke came from the fire that we contributed. The Tanya, v'nosnu b'nei kahanim eish al mizbeach, the kahanim should put fire in the mizbeach, afapish eish yeredes from the Shemayim, even though fire came down from the Shemayim, mitzvah lahavi min ahedit. We have to bring our own. What's pshat? So Mefarshim explained that even if a person is Baruch Hashem Zoyche, he's lucky that from the Shemayim they give him a cheshik, they give him the ability to learn, to do a mitzvah, he shouldn't just rely on that. He has to have his own initiative. He has to put in his own effort. Where do we find it? We find it by the Akedah. It says that Avram Avinu brought along the Eish. Yikach Avram is the Eish. He brought the fire. He didn't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eish. He brought his own fire along with him. Revutza Kari, we said that the fire looked like a lion. Asked the Gemara, "Vatanya Amar B'chanina Segana Kahanim, Ani Risia, I saw the fire, V'revutzu Kekelev, it looked like a dog." Answered the Gemara, "Like Kasha, Kam B'Migdash Rishon, Kam B'Migdash Sheni. In Migdash Rishon it looked like a lion, and Migdash Sheni looked like a dog." So I saw pshat. What's the difference, a lion and a dog? It's so interesting pshat. If somebody is being protected by a lion, or somebody is being protected by a dog, what's the difference? If somebody's being protected by a lion, let's say somebody's in a house at night, sleeping, and somebody wants to enter the house, and he has a lion protecting the house, What will the lion do? The lion will take care of the attacker without the person in the house ever knowing. He'll take care of him. The dog, what will he do? He won't do anything. He'll just bark. And the person inside the house will know that something's going on, and he'll go out and take care of it. In the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Nisim happened for us that we didn't even realize anything was happening. We were sleeping in our beds, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us. In the second Beis HaMikdash, we didn't have that level of Nisim. Ask the Gemara of Mikdash Sheni Mihavoy, was there fire in Mikdash Sheni? V'am Rav Shmuel Bar Inya, Ma'idik Siva Pasik in Chagai, V'artzba V'chabda. I will want this Beis HaMikdash, and I will honor it. V'kurina V'chabda. We read as if it has a hay, even though the ksiv does not have a hay. Ma'ishno adem chus a hay. Why is the hay missing? To teach us, Elu chamisha dvarim, shahoya bei Mikdash Rishon l'Mikdash Sheni. There were five things that happened in Mikdash Rishon, but not in Mikdash Sheni. Veilein. Number one, Aron Kruv, Paris of Kruvim, were in the base of Mikdash Rishon, not in the base of Mikdash Sheni. Eish, there was fire in the base of Mikdash Rishon, not in the base of Mikdash Sheni. Shechina, there was in the first base of Mikdash Shechina, not in the second. So the Ben Yoyod explains, of course there was Shechina in the base of Mikdash Sheni. The Shechina even now. The Medrash says, Lo Yizozo Shechina Mekoyis Lamaravi. Even today, the Shechina by the Kaisa Maravi. Just a lower level of Shechina. At the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a higher level than the second Beis HaMikdash. And now, unfortunately, we have even a lesser level. V'ruach HaKadosh, V'ruach Metuvim. Answers the Gemara in. Mahava Hava. There was fire in the Shemayim in the second Beis HaMikdash. However, Siyu Alay Mesayay. It didn't help burn the Kabbonis like it did help by the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara just said that one of the things that was missing by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was the Urim V'Tumim. What is the Urim V'Tumim? Urim V'Tumim was a piece of paper that had on it Hashem's name, that through that they were able to get answers from the stones and the letters engraved on the Choshen. So the Machloikis, Tosfos and the Rambam versus the Raavad. Tosfos and the Rambam learn that the Urim V'Tumim were by the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because if they weren't there, then the Kohen Gadol is missing one of the Begadim. And we've learned that the Kohen Gadol has to have all the Begadim in order to be able to do the Avodah. So they learned there was an Urim V'Tumim, it just didn't answer the questions, but physically it was there. The Raavad disagrees. He says that the Urim V'Tumim are not required as one of the Shemayna Begadim, and therefore when the Gemara says there was no Urim V'Tumim, it was completely missing. Because otherwise, the Raavad explains, the Gemara doesn't make sense. If you're going to say that the Urim V'Tumim were there, they just didn't give answers, so that's the same thing as there was no Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh is already mentioned as one of the things missing in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. So the Brisker Rav says, in defense of Tosfos and the Rambam, that there are, like we said regarding the Shechina, there are different levels of Ruach HaKodesh also. There's a level of Ruach HaKodesh called the Urim V'Tumim. That's one level that was missing. Then the Braisa tells us there was another level missing. That's the level of Ruach HaKodesh, which is like Nevuah. And actually, he explains that level of Ruach HaKodesh only was missing from Klal Yisrael later than the level of Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, that higher level of Ruach HaKodesh, never existed by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. The level of Ruach HaKodesh of Nevuah did exist at the beginning of Beis HaMikdash Sheni and then went away. Tana Bonin, Sheish Eishes Hain. There are six types of fire. And the Mepharshim explained, Eish, the word Eish, fire, is Rosh Tevis, Sheish Eish, six types of fire. Yesh Echel Fein Eshoisa, we'll just read this quickly because we're going to explain it in a moment. V'yesh shoyis v'en echeles, v'yesh echeles v'shoyisa, v'yesh echeles lachem ki yaveshim, v'yesh eish toiche eish, v'yesh eish echeles eish. Explains the Gemara. Yesh echeles v'en echeles, there's fire that eats but doesn't drink. How do you done? It's normal fire. Regular fire affects solids but not liquids. Shoyis v'en echeles, there's fire that drinks but doesn't eat, the choylim. When somebody is sick, he wants to drink, he's dehydrated, but he doesn't want to eat, he has no appetite. Echelos v'shoisa, it both eats and drinks, Dalyahu. The ksiv, the pasuk says in Malachim, when Eliyahu had this issue with the Nevi'ah HaBaal, and they both brought Kabonis on Hara Carmel, and Eliyahu want, and they were going to see whose carbon would a fire min Hashemayim come down for, and Eliyahu wanted to show how convinced and confident he was about his carbon. So a fire min Hashemayim came down, even though he poured water around the entire area. Vesamayim Ashabatala, all the water they spilled, lochka, the fire ate up. So you see, the fire ate up even a liquid. Achelas lachem kiveshim, that eats both moist and wet, the marocha. Because the ash on the marocha, not on the mizbeach, not only burnt up the carbonus, it even burnt up the liquids. Yesh ash toichel ash, sometimes a fire could push away fire, the gavriel. When the Nebuchadnezzar threw Chagai Zechariah Malachai into the fire, who came down to save them? Gavriel. Gavriel is the malach in charge of fire. So the malach of fire overcame fire. V'yesh oish oichelas eish. Sometimes fire burns off fire. The shechina. Damamar, hoishet etzboi b'neim v'sarfen. What does this refer to? So the Mefarshim explained. The Medrash says, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu came to create human beings, the Malachim said, Mo enesh kisiskerena. Why are you creating human beings? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's fire, the Malachim of fire, and he burnt them up. Yesh eish echeles eish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol burnt up those Malachim. Says the Gemara, for Oshana Malachim, Afil kol ruch shvaylem em azizus oisim kaimai. Is it true that the smoke coming out of the Mizbeach can never be moved? V'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, b'motzei yontov ha'achron shel chag, motzei shmini atzeres, hakol tzofen l'oshna marocha. Everybody would used to look at the smoke emanating from the Mizbeach. Noite klap it tzofen, if it went towards the north, that means it was a southerly wind, anim smechim, or balbatim atzevim. The poor people were happy, and the wealthy people were upset. V'mnei shigish meshanam merubim, it would be a wet, humid year, or per se makivim. What does that mean? Since it would be a wet, humid year, so two things happened. Number one, there would be a lot of rain, so there would be no shortage of new crops. Moreover, the crops that were kept in the warehouses would rot because of the humidity. So the balabatim would have to take out those crops and sell them, and they couldn't gorge him and keep him to raise the price. Note the klapit dorim, if the wind went in the southerly direction, if the smoke went in the southerly direction, just the opposite. Anim et save him, the poor people would be upset, about batim smechim. Neshigish mishonim or utim, there wouldn't be a lot of rain, or perasem mishtam, it wouldn't be humid either. So they won't have plenty of new crops, and the old crops will be protected. They don't have to worry that the humidity will affect them, and therefore they could keep him and let him out slowly and keep the price high. Not the klap in Mizrach. If it went to the east side, hakel smechem. Everybody was happy. Because that's the perfect situation. Enough rain, not too much humidity. Klap in Marev, if it went to the west side, that means it was an easterly wind, hakel at save him. Everybody was upset. There wouldn't be enough rain, and it would be humid. So there won't be new crap, and the old crap will also get ruined. So you see that it did go, and we learned that it went straight. Answers the Gemara. The ozel v'osi kedikli, it shook like a tree. However, it might have bent in one direction, another direction, but it never scattered. There's an unbelievable Meshech Chochma in Parashas Kedoshim. The Meshech Chochma writes, he says, that was when Jews were beginning to move from Europe to America. And America was then the treif in the Medina. So he said, if the Jews are going to move from Europe, where there was the yeshivas and everything, to America, how will they remain Jews? The Ozav Asli Kedikli, if they move, but if Duri Lemivda, if they stay together as Kehilas, in shuls and in communities, that's how they'll stay together with the Osher Marocha. They'll stay connected to Ruchnius, to the Mizbeach. Amamar. So says the Gemara, we just learned, Klapi Mizrach, if it blew towards the east, Hakel Smechem. which means that a westerly wind is good. Klafi marv, it blew towards the west, which is an easterly wind. Hakot seifim. Ask the Gemara of Vermini, I'll ask you a question. The Braisa says, Mizrachis, an easterly wind, loylem yofa, is always good. Maravis, loylem kasha, is never good. Ruach tzafinis, a northerly wind, yofa lechitim, it's good for wheat, b'shar shaviyu shlish, when they grew a third. The kosh lezeisim, b'zman shein chaytim, and they're not good for olives when they're starting to blossom. Ruach deroimis, a southerly wind, kosh lechitim b'shar shaviyu shlish, is not good for wheat that grew a third. The yofa lezeisim, b'zman shein chaytim, but it is good for olives that grew, that are blossoming. Then Rav Yosef Yitem Mazutra, if you remember, want to remember which wind is good for wheat and which good wind is good for olives, the simonech, shulchan b'tzofen, the shulchan which had on the bread made out of wheat was on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, so northerly wind is good for wheat, umenaya, which had olive oil, was on the bottom side. But here, going back to the beginning of the Braisa, it says that the east wind is good and the west wind is not good. And we learned just the opposite. Ha, answers the Gemara, Hai Ma B'Dadai, Hai Ma B'Dadai, this is still before. The Shulchan is on the north side where the north is good for wheat and the Menorah is on the Dorim where the north, where the wind is good for olives. Answers the Gemara, Lakasha, Holon V'Holahu. In Eretz Yisrael, where there is not a lot of rain, it's not a moist environment, so they need a lot of rain. So there, what's better is a westerly wind. In Bavel, which is a moist environment, what's good? So they don't need that much rain. On the contrary, too much rain is damaging. So Mizrachus Lailam Yafa, the easterly wind is better. Harim Lach Shiva Shammah, Harim Lach Shiva Shammah, Harim Lach Shiva Shammah. Parshas Kedoshim.